This is InvestTalk. Independent thinking, shared success. Justin Klein and Steve Peasley stand ready to take your finance and investment questions and share their unbiased answers. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. The clarity for your path forward starts now. Here is KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. It is Friday, September 1st, 2023, and as you know, Monday's a holiday. Yay. I'm Steve Peasley. On this program and podcast, I will be providing useful data and my unbiased perspective on that data and all the information that's available to me through my computer systems and my pretty extensive reading, obviously. I love to read, so that's one of the things I do. I've been doing it for 50 years. Love doing this job. My objective is always to help you become a better investor. And I accomplish this, at least I try to accomplish this, by mixing in educational and actionable material to you on today's environment that we're in, investment-wise, economic-wise. And I, read some interesting articles I want to share with you today, at least parts of those articles, and we'll be doing that. And hopefully you will contribute because this show is driven by your calls. Your calls, your comments, your questions. So remember to make them. I want to hear from you. Before I talk about today's market performance, I'm going to and run down the planned show topics. Let's go ahead and listen to our first caller question.
This is Jeff calling from Iowa, and I'd like to know what you guys think about Dollar General right now. I know their earnings have been decreased over the last couple periods, and I was wondering if you could take a look at their historical earnings and maybe, let us know what a good entry point is for Dollar General right now. Has the market overreacted, or do you think it's going to drop even more? Thank you. I look forward to hearing your answer on the show. I appreciate everything you guys do.
Okay. Dollar General, everybody, they operate 19,000-plus stores located in 47 states, and they plan to open about 1,000 more, and they've just recently, not too long ago, offered $500 million in notes at 5.2%, senior notes and bonds. That's what they're doing. Their earnings are going to fall this year. They rose last year to $10.68 their last fiscal year. And next year, they're going to make $8.16. So that's the estimate. It's a 24% fall. And then come back a little bit in 2025 to $9.33. And it's a $130 stock. So at Ford, PE is around 15, which is low on the low end for them. For them, it's on the low end. But that is the average, or approximately the average, for the entire S&P 500. The return equity is very good at 41%. Dividends 1.8%, not much there. Mutual funds are net sellers, but very slowly. Management owns 1%, and they do have a lot of debt because they're building out stores, so that costs them debt. Now, as far as an entry point, about 120 is about the best entry point you're going to get for a while. Let me go to a little longer chart. Maybe I can get a better, it can go down to 100, but about 120 is the next stopping point. They've been falling pretty steadily. They topped around $260, and now here they are at 130, and they've had a pretty bad week this week, and it was all earnings, missing the numbers. So the question is this a good place to buy? Well, I like Dollar General. I think it's a good model, but it's an economically sensitive stock, and it seems like it's flashing a weakness in the economy to me. I think I have no problem someone owning this company, but I do think I would wait for it to stop falling, because it's still falling. Also, I'd want to check that debt out. Is that debt going to be renewed? How much cost is the debt today versus the renewal? Because, you know, interest rates are really spiked. And are they going to have to renew a lot of debt in the near future at much higher rates? I would check that out. That would be one of the things I'd want to know before I invested in the company. Okay, we got a lot of ground to cover in the next 45 minutes, everybody. Here's what I plan, time permitting. My focus point looks at how to calibrate your target savings rate, your personal target savings rate. You know, there's lots of rules of thumb, and we'll talk about those, but everybody's different. So we want to see if we can more focus on your goals and what's good for you, or at least learn how to do that. Okay, so that's going to be a pretty major point we're going to talk about. I also want to talk about mortgage rates. They're at a three-week low, you know. But is that cheap? Also, Saudi Arabia oil exports fall sharply in August. They fall sharply in August. Why? Remember, they with OPEC is trying to cut production, and they have. So why did their exports fall? And finally, Fidelity says a wall of corporate debt will cause a recession in 2024. At the same time, a lot of people are saying, looks like we're going to hit a soft landing. A lot of other pundits are saying that it looks like the Fed is engineering a soft landing. But Fidelity is not saying that. I want to explore that a little bit. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The market itself today was mixed. The Dow was up 116 points, the NASDAQ down 3, and the S&P up 8. So broadly speaking, it's up a little bit. We've had a number of good days for the market, but August was not a good month. It was kind of a weak month for the overall market. I also have some voice bank questions ready to play, bond exposure, and someone wants to know about Next Era Energy Inc., NEE. We'll talk about that. And since it's Friday, I will share some highlights from the KPP Premium Newsletter, which I usually do on Fridays. And, you know, those are things we can talk about. And we're pretty full up. We usually are. I usually am full up. But, you know, you're the one that drives the show with your phone calls and your questions. 888-99-CHART. Now, have you heard about the InvestTalk Classroom series? It is streaming now for free on our YouTube channel. The topic for episode 5 is how to invest in recessionary times. Kind of what Fidelity is calling for next year, recessionary time. It explores the question, what is a recession as compared with a financial crisis? And Jessica Klein explains why it's important to invest to investors to not paint every recession with a broad brush. They're all different. Search InvestTalk Classroom. And now my phone lines are open, 888-99-CHART.
Justin Klein talks about the KPP Financial Premium Newsletter.
I want to remind you that this is a time where you probably need some guidance and you're tuning in to try to get our view of the markets. And we only have an hour here. And sometimes the way I distill each day can be maybe not enough time. And so our premium newsletter is a great tool for especially newer investors trying to learn some things.
The KPP Financial Premium Newsletter comes to your mailbox every Saturday.
Learn how to analyze the market, learn what the economic numbers mean, learn how to manage a portfolio, maybe get an idea of what are good companies to be at least looking at. Maybe you don't buy it today, but you should always have a watch list of companies that, hey, these are interesting, these have good businesses. And if they get the right price, maybe I should buy them. So our newsletter is a great tool for that.
Subscribe anytime at investtalk.com. Steve Peasley is here and ready to take your calls live. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Justin. It's Antonio from Illinois. I was looking to see how to get bond exposure. Don't have a lot of cash, but would like to get bond exposure. Thank you very much.
Well, for most people, bond exposure is done. The easiest method is through exchange-traded funds, ETFs. where you can buy any type of bonds. You can buy corporate bonds, treasuries. You can buy short-term, intermediate-term, long-term, and you can mix and match. And it's like it's as easy as buying a stock, but you're actually buying an ETF for bonds, which has a bunch of bonds inside it. And how much risk you take depends on how, you know, don't fall in love with return, the yield. If the yield is very, very high, that usually translates into more and more risk. And more risk, you know, in a bond portfolio means that high-risk bonds are junk bonds and they're corporate junk bonds, okay? And you don't necessarily want to be in all those types of bonds. That doesn't mean you can't have exposure to that. I'm just saying that that's where the risk is. And, you know, you can, what's nice about ETFs and buying bond ETFs is you can moderate the risk as much as you want. You can take very low risk, but you got to remember the lower risk you take, the lower the yield. But today's market, short-term treasuries pay, you know, 3%, 4%, 5%. 4%, 5%, really, not 3%. 4% or 5%, which is pretty decent compared to recent history, last 10 years or whatever. So you can get a pretty good return with taking very little risk. And I think exchange-traded funds is the best way to do that. You can also buy individual bonds, but then you have to buy a bunch of them, and you have to understand how the ratings work and how good they are and take a look at the fundamentals of the company that back the bonds. You know, it gets pretty complex. So, you know, and you probably get a little better return, but you got to work for that, and you got to understand what you're doing. My focus point looks at the story behind the headline, how to calibrate your target savings rate. You can hope investments will do all the heavy lifting on the road to retirement, but what you really need to do is take a close look at your budget in an effort to bump up your savings rate and reduce spending. You know, reducing your spending is the hardest thing for most people. They get a raise, they want to spend it. More money they make, the more they spend. It's pretty common and very difficult for people to do that. Now, if you want to retire, you have to start with some goals. When do you want to retire? How much money do you need in retirement when it does come around? How do you figure that out? Now, you can always go by the rule of thumb, well, save 10% of your income, and that should be okay. But that's not necessarily so. You know, it depends. If you start very young, the easier it is to reach your retirement goal, and 10% probably works. But if you're 45 years old and you're just starting to think about retirement savings, you're already way behind. Even at 10%, you need to save more. So it depends on your personal goals, where you are, and how much 10% really is of your income. Is it enough? Okay, so you first got to identify and prioritize your goals. What is it you want? You want $1 million, okay, by the time you retire. Is that enough money to retire on? Well, doesn't that go to your spending? Well, how much are you going to spend? You know, And don't think you're just going to automatically spend less because you're retired. That's not necessarily so. Okay? Then after you've decided on your and identified your goals and priorities, then you got to quantify those goals. Actually get down to the nitty-gritty. How many years left do I have to save money? How much money can I save per year? And what will be my return on my investments depending on and what kind of risk I'm going to actually take on those investments to achieve a particular return, on and on and on. And most people need help with this. They really do. Okay, so, you know, it's very important that you understand how money works. The earlier you start, you start in your 20s, the easier it is. It gets much easier if you start early. In your late 30s, early 40s, it gets much more difficult because you're shortchanging your time frame and you need time. The thing about the market, if you listen to Warren Buffett, it's not time in the market, it's time in the market. Time. Right now, I know for a fact that the Coca-Cola stock he bought 30 years ago, whatever how many years ago, he still owns, and he makes more money every year on dividends than he paid for the stock way back then. Time in the market does that for you. Time in the market. Don't try to time it. Time in the market. Okay? Now you just got to understand the risks involved. It's okay. There are risks, and you can manage risks. That's very possible and very doable. We're going to take a quick break. Please remember that you can call anytime and leave your questions on InvestTalk Voice Bank. Or if you're listening live via the live stream or AM 1220 radio in Silicon Valley, call me now, 888-99-CHART.
Every InvestTalk podcast is made better by your questions. So don't forget to call. And if you've never called, Justin and Steve are waiting now for your finance and investment questions. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. What are your thoughts on NextEra Energy? The stock symbol is NEE, Nancy Edward Edward. Seems to be really popular amongst all the financial writers online, but wanted to see what your thought was for a long-term hold with it. Thank you.
Okay, NextEra Energy is a utility electric power sector engaged in the generation, transmission, distribution, sale of electricity to 5.7 million customers in Florida. So it's a $135 billion company, and it's in Florida. Okay. They're very steady in their income, very steady. $3.41 next year, $3.12 this year, $2.90 last year, $2.55 per share the year before. Very steady, 8-9% growth in earnings every year. Pays a 2.8% dividend. And sales growth has been, you know, pretty strong the last 4 or 5 quarters. So those are all good things. The forward PE is 21, and the 5-year range is 22 to 38. So it's also at a pretty low PE range. Okay, so where's the danger? The danger is, you know, it has a pretty decent amount of debt. A lot of utilities do have a lot of debt. And that one of my biggest fears is it's in Florida. There's a lot of hurricanes down there, but they seem to be weathering that over the years pretty well, the danger of hurricane season, because it interrupts their earnings. But they have been able to weather that very well. And it's really close to a good buy point here at $66.87 a share. Its high is like 93 in 2021 and 2022. That was a high it reached. And the low in those 2 years is 68 and 67. Right now it's at 66.87. So it's in that lower band of where it seems to stop falling. And the only reason why it should change is something untoward happens with the hurricane, or we fall into an economic recession. And, you know, that's always possible. But as far as a company, it's a very solid company. On Fridays, I generally take time for a quick rundown of key benchmark numbers. The 2-year treasury yield is 4.86%. Man, that's a lot. 76 weeks ago was 1.9. 2 years ago is 0.6 per. Now remember, it's now paying 4.8% per year. 10-year, 4.17. 4.17. And 85 weeks ago is 1.72. So we have an inverted yield curve still, and that's always been an indicator of a recession. Problem is it's been that way for some time, and we're still not in a recession. But it still makes me quite nervous, very nervous. Gold, $1,941 an ounce. It hasn't changed much in a long time. It was $1,865 30 weeks ago. 80 weeks ago was 1806, and now it's 1941. Not a big difference. Silver today is $24.19. And a year and a half ago, it was $23.94. So 23 cents more, that's not much there. It's 1%, 2% difference in a year. I don't know. Doesn't, you know, a year and a half. Oil, $85.78 a barrel. Last week it was $80. So it went up to 85. 86 weeks ago was $66.62 a barrel. So national average of gasoline, $3.81. If you're in California, it's $5.29. Seems to constantly go up. It's pretty frustrating for us who live here in California. For comparison, Texas today, gas at the pump is $3.40 per gallon. $1.09 cheaper per gallon than in California. $1.09. Now, I could say because, well, there's a lot of oil and a lot of drilling and stuff going in Texas, but that's not the only reason that it's much higher here. We got a very, I would say, a very hostile environment for oil development here in California, where Texas is not. It's a friendly environment for oil development. And that's one of the reasons. Plus, there's a lot more taxes here in California than in Texas. So that makes up. You know, it's just the way it is. I'm just reporting the news. Okay, 888-99-CHART. Okay, mortgage rates are at a three-week low. Now, don't mistake that and think that mortgage rates are low. They're 7.48% for a 30-year fix. It was 7.8% 3 weeks ago. So don't mistake it. It's cheap, okay? Now, you can get today, you can get as low as just a tad over 7%, according to Freddie Mac. There are banks out there that can just get a little over 7% for a 30-year fix, but that's the best you're going to get right now, the best. We're headed into a break, everybody. Justin Klein and I are happy to play your recorded voice bank questions. We want to, but of course we love talking and taking live calls. Our number never changes. It never closes either. 888-99-CHART.
Each day, InvestTalk listeners submit their finance and investment questions via phone or email. Would you like your question to be put near the top of the list? Just take a minute or two to leave a review and rating for InvestTalk at iTunes. And be sure to include a brief question with your iTunes review comments.
Hi, Justin and Steve. I'm Georgie, New Jersey. What are your views on SoFi Industries, ticker symbol SOFI? I'm looking to invest very long-term in the online financial industry. SoFi has taken a big beating in the recent market downturn, but its growth looks good and it's showing profitability. I'd enjoy hearing your views. Thank you for your educational and informative show.
Okay, this is SoFi Technologies. SOFI operates as a fintech company that enables customers to meet financial independence to realize their ambitions. It's in the finance consumer loans sector. I see it not making money. It's going to lose a penny a share next year, but it's lots better than this year. It's losing 22 cents this year. It lost 40 cents last year, a dollar the year before. So it's growing and growing in the right direction. Sales growth is between 37 and almost 60% every quarter for the last 2 years. So it's doing very, very well. It's a growth company. So since there is no earnings or projected earnings, negative cash flow of 18 cents, everything is on speculation. It's an $8.79 stock. And I see several of the big financial houses have it at around $10 to $10.50 per share. That's their projected price target on it. And if they keep going in the direction they're going, I don't doubt that that's going to be there. They fell as far as almost, $4.20 or so before they started up. And they retested that $4.20 back in June. Happened December last year, and then retested it in June. And now it's at $8.79. So it looks like it's coming off its bottom. It looks like it's on an upward trend to me. And so if you wanted to take a risk, this would be a good bet. Mind you, if we go into recession or, you know, this, all bets are off because growth stocks really tank in a recession. That's, growth stocks always get hit the most. But on the other hand, when they come out of recession, they always run up the highest, the fastest. So, you know, that's why you only want to make a small part of your portfolio so, you know, it doesn't dominate what happens to your money. Okay? The KPP Premium Newsletter was finished today, and it will be distributed to subscribers tomorrow morning. Now I have a preview. In the market conditions section, we explained that yesterday marked the end of a mixed August with the Dow Jones Industrial dropping by about 0.5%. The S&P 500 falling about 0.16%. The NASDAQ Composite rising 0.1% on the day. Overall, the month was pretty tough. The S&P 500 had its worst performance since February, Dow Jones since May, and the NASDAQ since November 22. Nevertheless, investors are optimistic as cooling economic data may be foreshadowing the end of interest rate hikes by the Fed. So as a side, is the Fed done with raising rates, and have they gone too far? Will it hurt the economy more, even if they stop raising rates? U.S. labor market data for August showed long-awaited signs of cooling, sparking optimism that the economy would see a soft landing. Key indicators include a spike in the unemployment rate, tempered job growth, and wage gains returning to pre-pandemic levels. Investors view this as a potential Goldilocks scenario where inflation remains controlled without causing a recession. That's called a soft landing. That's what the Fed is hoping for. Mind you, the Fed, this is not in the newsletter, mind you, the Fed has never, rarely achieved a soft landing. They either over-tighten or over-loosen. So the question is, did they over-tighten by raising rates too fast, too hard? Because it takes time for those higher interest rates to filter into the economy. Okay, back to the newsletter. It is important to note, however, that the economy is constantly in flux, and you cannot extrapolate 1 month of data and create a long-term trend. The housing market was as complex as ever in August. For the month, Realtor.com data revealed a continued shortage of homes for sale, with a 9.2% year-over-year decline in total listings. Despite higher mortgage rates, low inventory has prevented a significant impact on home prices. They haven't. Historically, September has been a bad month for markets as we learn more and more about how monetary moves have damaged economic growth. It is sensible to expect that the historical trend of choppiness in the back half of the year will continue. And of course, there's lots more commentary, a lot more detail in the newsletter. In the stock ideas section, usually we give you two. One of them was one of the largest U.S. property and casualty insurers in the U.S. Personal auto policies represent the largest percentage of its overall revenue, but the company offers homeowners insurance and other insurance products. The company has been increasing prices on many of its policies, which should lead to improved underlying profitability. The stock has sold off significantly due to catastrophic losses and headwinds in personal autos. This pushed the company to a $1.4 billion second quarter loss. However, insurance companies are expected to dramatically increase premiums, which will be very favorable for profitability. So, you out there, expect your premiums to go up. The other stock idea, a global IT service provider offering consulting and outsourcing services to some of the world's largest enterprises, spanning the financial services, media, communications, healthcare, natural resources, and consumer products industries. The company employs nearly 300,000 people globally, and about 70% of whom are in India. This is an IT service provider. The company's traditional consulting business should deliver a greater proportion of overall revenue, strengthening the company's authority in digital IT and expanding profit margins. And of course, in the newsletter, we name names and give you symbols of what stocks we're talking about. We just can't do it over the air. So I've given you a sample teaser of our latest KPP Premium newsletter. Subscribers receive the full edition via email each Saturday, and they also get the portfolio and consumer watch sections. Learn more and subscribe anytime at investtalk.com. Let's take another caller question. This one came in earlier from Iowa.
Hi, this is Van from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and I'd like to know what you guys think on Vermilion Energy. VET. It's an exploration and production company out of Canada, but it has properties in many different places. I've got 10% of my portfolio in Exxon and a few percent in pipeline companies, but I wanted something that I could add to that that would be high risk and high reward. Thanks a lot. Love your show. Bye.
Okay, I need to apologize. I said Iowa, and it's not Iowa. It's Idaho. So I'm sorry. Engaged. Okay, Vermilion Energy, symbol VET, engaged in the oil and gas exploration and development in Canada, Australia, France, Ireland, Germany, and U.S. It's a $2.5 billion company. They're going to make $3.56 a share this year after making $7.80 a share last year. That's a 50% cut. And I want to know why. Why did the earnings get cut so dramatically? Sales are falling the last two quarters. Is that why? Okay, they're going to make $4.04 next year. And based on that, looking forward, the stock is at $15 a share. So the PE is still pretty darn low. Okay, it pays a 1.8% dividend, not a lot of debt, return on equity is 48%. Cash flow is very strong, very, very strong, at $11.94 a share. Okay, I'm not sure why management has hardly any ownership, but mutual funds have about 20% ownership, but they've cut that ownership by about 12, 15% in the last year. Not sure why that's so, too. But it does look like it, on a chart, it's hit a bottom around $11 a share, and now it's at 15. So it looks like on a chart that it's on its way up. And the value is still very good. I just don't like the fact they're not paying much of a dividend when their cash flow is so strong. I mean, 1.8% dividend on a $15 stock? I mean, why so low? I mean, if they paid a 5% dividend, they're going to make $4.04 next year. I mean, that wouldn't be hardly, that's still very low payout ratio. Why is it so low? Anyway, that would be one of the questions I have in mind. I think the company is well run, but its earnings are kind of sporadic. They lost $9 a share in 2020, the COVID year, and then it's made money before that and after that. So, you know, I think it's a pretty solid company, but it's not as stable as we'd like it to be for an energy company. But it got up to around $30 a share. Last year was $30 a share, 2022. That's 100% return from where it is today. If it just goes back up there, and it has that possibility. So consider that. Saudi Arabia exports fall sharply in August. And remember, Saudi Arabia is leading an effort to reduce production. The OPEC countries are all trying to reduce their production. And Saudi Arabia is leading the way. They want to keep the prices high, obviously. Saudi Arabia pumped 5.6 million barrels a day, but that's the lowest they've been since 321. So that's a pretty low amount. Chinese demand is lackluster. Flows to China is down 1.3 million barrels a day. Okay, and even here in the United States, demand has fallen. Demands had fallen. Europe, us. So they're trying to, I mean, it's the smallest demand since the last 6 years. So Saudi Arabia and OPEC are trying to keep the prices up, and they are still pretty high when they normally would not be this high. What happens when demand starts increasing and everybody gets off, especially in China and in Europe, when they get off this recession thing that's hitting them? Does that mean that oil is going to go back up to $100 a barrel or more? Well, if they can control the number of barrels being pumped, yeah, that could very easily happen. See, we're dependent on the foreign oil. We don't have to be, but we are. So therefore, we're dependent on the huge price, and that's going to hurt our economy. Because remember, most people still are driving their cars. They don't have electric cars. Yeah, electric cars are expanding fast, and they probably will continue to do so. I hope they do. I think they will. But we're still going to be dependent on oil for the next 10, 20, 30 years. So don't think it's just going to all of a sudden dry up. Not going to happen. The demand is not going to dry up. Not going to happen. Okay, we started September, the last month of the third quarter, so the year is moving pretty fast. So September will be gone before you know it. So serious investors need to be able to adjust their thinking and strategies. Times change all the time. So we need to think. Now, is the Federal Reserve going to stop raising rates? Or are they going to start reducing rates? Is the economy? All these questions have to be answered in what you do with your portfolio. We're not talking about huge amounts of change in what you should do with your portfolio, but you do have to identify philosophically and realistically what's going on and how to adjust your portfolio to meet the new reality. It's just the way it is. So we do that here at KPP Financial. We'll do that for you. We follow a philosophy of independent thinking, shared success, meaning we do our own work. We don't copy or buy someone else's stock ideas. We come up with our own. And we also buy and sell the same stocks for us as we do for our clients. Okay? We call it parallel investing. So we provide unbiased guidance, and we practice what we preach. We put our money where our mouth is. So I encourage you to take advantage of our free portfolio review assessment that we do via telephone, Skype, or GoToMeetings. We do it all the time. You can send us a message through investtalk.com or call KPP Financial in Irvine, California. I think after speaking with Justin or one of the other guys in the office, I think you'll find us very accommodating. We want to help people. Yes, we want to manage your money. Yeah, that's true. But we our primary goal is to help you understand what's going on, help you achieve your financial goal. Yeah, everybody wants financial freedom. Everybody. I do. Everybody does. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. We have one goal here, and it's the same goal I just mentioned, to achieve financial freedom. And, of course, we will continue this work right after this break. So get your questions in now, 888-99-CHART.
Got a portfolio to grow and protect, so get your finance and investment questions together and call Steve Peasley and Justin Klein. They're ready with their unbiased answers. Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Very impressed with all the information and knowledge that you share on the show. I have a question about the stock called Rio Tinto. Stock ticker symbol is RIO. It looks to be decently priced, seems pretty safe, though I'm not sure about what future prospects for this sector might look like. But in this scenario and in this investing environment, what do you think about taking a position in the stock? And I'm thinking of holding it in my Roth IRA, specifically for the dividend and, you know, a little bit of growth that might come with it. So thank you for all that you do, and would love to hear your answer on the show. Thank you.
Actually, I think it's a good company to have in your portfolio because I like the dividend, Rio Tinto, RIO. It's a UK-based company with global interest in mining metals and industrial minerals, which I think is a pretty good sector for the future. They pay a 6.3% dividend. They have return on equity 24%. Those are really good numbers. Cash flow is also very strong at $10.42. It's a $63 stock, and they could easily pay the dividend. It takes up about 50% of the earnings per share. And I like to keep the dividend payout ratio under 60, so it meets that. The only little negative I have is that earnings have been falling about 10 to 15% every quarter for the last almost 2 years now. Not because they're selling less, it's because the prices have gone down. But I don't think prices are going to stay depressed forever, especially if economies tick up in the next year or two or three. If you have patience, you will get capital appreciation, plus you'll constantly get that dividend. And I really like the dividend. It's a $103 billion company, so it's not going anywhere. Okay? So I kind of like it. RIO is the symbol. Okay, Fidelity says, a wall of corporate debt will cause a recession in 2024. Now, other pundits, the majority of pundits, don't think so. But I think we should listen to their argument as to why they think that. And they're talking about debt. And what they're talking about is corporate debt that's going to be refinanced from 3 to 4% to 6, 8, 9% going forward. When this debt, remember all the corporations were borrowing money when it was real cheap. Money was cheap. They were borrowing lots of it because it was so cheap. Well, guess what? That money is cheap no longer. And if they can't pay off the debt, they have to refinance it, and it's going to cost them 2-3 times more than they were paying for it before. There's where Fidelity is hanging their hat on the possible recession, the refinancing at much higher debt costs. Remember, the rest of Wall Street seems to be backing off their recession calls and predicting a soft landing. So who's going to be right? And you know what? I don't know. I mean, you know, my guess is as good as yours. I'm a little more concerned about recession because of the debt. I think that's a very valid point, and that's why I bring it up here, because I do think it's a strong point in the favor. And I also think the Fed has gone too far in raising rates. I think they probably 1 or 2 rates too far. Try to remember, when the Fed increases rates or decreases rate, it takes months for that rate to filter through into the economy. Months, sometimes a year, to filter through into the economy. And think about how far they pushed down rates and what the banks did, what the corporations did, to lend that money out at cheap rates and corporations to borrow that at cheap rates. And then think about this one other item that I've talked about many times, and that is vacancy rates at commercial properties, office buildings especially, vacancy rates, because people don't want to go back to work or, you know, or for whatever reason, working from home. And that's going to cause even more pressure on delinquent loans. And the banks will be affected with delinquent loans. And we're already having problems with some of our banks. They're not that visible, but it could be any time. Remember, we had 3 banks go out at one time pretty quickly this year. I'm Steve Peasley, and this completes another InvestTalk program. Justin Klein and I thank you for listening. And we encourage you to tell your friends and family members about our free podcast downloads. Get your downloads anytime at iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. And please be sure to review and rate us if you do get your downloads from iTunes. We appreciate it. We're at 55.3 million downloads. That's a lot. I never would have guessed we would get that many, 55.3 million. Anyways, well, I want to tell you that we do appreciate it a lot. Thank you. We have a new best of caller question ready for download on Monday, because we're out of a holiday. The market will be closed for Labor Day. Independent thinking, share success. This is InvestTalk. Enjoy your holiday weekend, everybody.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president, and Justin Klein is chief executive officer of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.